when the right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show, the best soccer show in the whole world.
The best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois, live on a Sunday night, ready to go. I act like there's not two children sleeping in my house right now. My kid, Jared, my 13-year-old, just got back from a sleepover weekend.
Oh, watch out.
With his friend. A sleepover weekend with his friend. And I asked him, what'd you guys do? He said, played video games. I said, oh, yeah?
Isn't that what you did when you were 13-year-olds and did it?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not in any judgment zone here. But I said, oh, what time did you go to bed? He said 2. There's zero chance they went to bed at 2 a.m. Like, just no way.
You think it's later?
Oh, for sure it's later. If they were not told to go to sleep and lights were not turned off on them, okay. They did not go to bed.
Jason Davis, 13 years old, spending a night at a friend's house playing games. Yeah, 13 years old, what year is it for you?
13 is 1993 is when I was mostly 13.
What video game is being played?
Man, we were playing the hell out of some Mortal Kombat back then. I think we were all nighting Mortal Kombat.
N64?
No. I think we were still on maybe Super Nintendo.
That's what I meant.
Genesis. Super Nintendo. Yes. Genesis. Yeah, you're like 8. Yeah. 64 is college when we started playing Golden Isle and flunking out of college. Yeah. That's a different experience. Yeah.
Been there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, those are the things that we did. All right, we're live here on a Sunday night. We're going to be talking about the U.S. men's national team. We're going to talk about Weston McKennie. It's going to come up. There's some comments from Greg Berhalter that have entered into the public sphere that I want to get to here, Jared, because I think we're still kind of reckoning with whether or not McKennie's going to be in the roster for October, right? Like, you and I did a mock roster for October. And sorry, did I step on your
bit? A mocktober roster.
Okay. We each did one, and I had a momentary hesitation. I mean, I know where I think he should be, but there was a momentary hesitation, right?
Yeah, and I think that very quickly I got off my high horse about the ideals of what should happen on this roster once I saw Tyler Adams didn't play this weekend. I really quickly came to grips with my feelings about Weston McKennie.
Yeah, what is going on here? Like, who have we offended as a soccer country? I mean, don't answer that question. I'm sure that
the English, because mainly.
We can't seem to get a role going with everybody healthy or everybody behaving. It just, or everybody in decent form. Sometimes a player will suddenly go out of favor and end up on the bench that we think is going to be very important with the national team. And here we go with Tyler Adams. And that's another one, right? When we get to the Mocktober roster, Tyler Adams, where is he? How's it going, Tyler? Are you going to give us? Is there an Instagram update? Has anybody seen Tyler give us an Instagram update?
I'm not up on the gram right now. I'm not up on the gram. I'm not sure. But you need to follow his girl too. His girl might let something loose, like she did with the
Champions League draw.
Yeah, that's it. You always got to follow the wives and girlfriends of the players. You know, that's where you get the real info, guys.
That's where you get the real good stuff.
That does bring up a thing, though. When is the roster officially supposed to be announced? Is it tomorrow?
Well, if you think about the way things worked the last time around, we went into...
Was it
camp,
1 week?
Opened up on the Monday ahead of the games. First game is on Thursday. I believe it was the week before. But, yeah, I mean, you get a weekend of club matches before they arrive, but the roster was already out, right?
Yeah, so first game is the 7th, Thursday the 7th,
yes.
I believe. So
yes,
we would probably hear next week on the tomorrow the 27th would be a good idea for it, because they would report 1 week from that day.
Yeah. I don't know if it'll be tomorrow. It might be midweek. I think it'll be midweek is when we get this. Why is my camera's not... Okay, nobody can see this happening, but my camera's going bad, so I want to make sure I get that right.
Yeah, I don't want to mess up this that nice face up there, man. You want to make sure it looks good.
Look at this tip from Jackie. Jackie is saying, our guys are so young, you have to follow their moms to know what's up. The moms got the real scoop. Or the dads who like to mix it up on Twitter
and on Instagram.
There's
a couple dads recently, right? There's a couple dads recently that had some stuff to say.
Speaking of Weston McKennie.
Maybe follow sisters. I don't know.
I believe Weston McKennie's dad got mixed up in everything that went down with him. All right. So first of all, do you have any other business to bring to the table before we get into the meat of this show? Because I want to make sure that if there's anything else that's pertinent here, and we're going to talk about Leagues Cup too, because while we're not all the way in on MLS at the moment, there are some things. Oh, you want to see my new T-shirt? For anybody who's watching the video, you look at my new T-shirt. I got it sent to me. It says "Good Night LAFC." I also think it's
that's what Galaxy say to him after their win.
Well, what I was going to say is that I think it was supposed to be like a Good Night Moon reference, and it's lovingly said, but the way that LAFC's playing right now and the loss they had on this weekend, maybe it is Good Night LAFC.
Listen, I'm not one place to talk a lot of crap as a Galaxy fan right now. Things ain't groozy over there, but at least we're not them.
Well, we're about to get Jay Rodius during a Galaxy game on this show tonight, right?
Oh, if you don't think ESPN is already queued up over on the other screen, ready to go, you're crazy. So around 6:30, your boy's going to start being distracted.
Distracted Rodius is happening here. All right, so let me give you, because I don't think you've even heard these comments yet, right? From Greg Berhalter,
no,
on the U.S. Soccer Podcast. So he's doing the U.S. Soccer Podcast discussion. With Bobby Warshaw. And Bobby, they talk about the three games in the last set of qualifiers. They talk about El Salvador. Berhalter gives some thoughts tactically, the way that El Salvador approached the game. It talks a lot about how we should have won that game. The numbers say we should have won that game. Sometimes it doesn't go your way. I will let you decide as an American soccer fan whether you buy what Berhalter is shoveling. Either he's shoveling the good stuff and it's actually meaningful, or you think he's shoveling, you know, that good old-fashioned bullshit. He did the Canada game. They obviously talked about the Honduras game. And in that part of the conversation, right around the Canada-Honduras conversation, Bobby brings up the Weston McKennie thing. I want you to hear what Berhalter has to say and tell me what you think.
There you go.
Last question on Canada before we move to Honduras was, you've now played them 4 times in 2 years.
I may have the wrong one. I may have queued it up to the wrong spot. So let me make sure I get to the right part of this because... All right.
Well, I do want to hear what he has to say because I'm interested to see if he takes the same line and the same that he did in the press conferences. But we're a month on now. Like, I don't feel like he can still lean on the same place and the same talking points he had a month ago because. I'm surprised more hasn't come out, to be honest with you. We're a month away. All we know at this point is that he had a bad decision of going out and brought someone home, brought someone back. You would think we would have more details than that right now, as in, like, I don't know, who or something like that. I don't know. Like, what dates.
Do we
like,
need those?
Oh, well, listen, I want to know. Did it happen in El Salvador? Did it happen in Honduras? Did it happen Did it happen in Nashville? Like, when did this happen? Like, those kind of details.
Oh, it definitely happened in Nashville. I thought we all
You're
all
assuming
knew that it was... Well,
that's,
yeah,
we know we found out in Nashville.
Sure. Yeah. Let me. I know we're dropping in here, and I'm sorry about this. I thought I had it queued up to the right spot, but getting everything lined up tonight was a little bit difficult.
He did a great game. He had a great game plan.
Hold on.
So moving to the Honduras game, that you won 4-1 at fruit that I could address. It's always squeezing the field.
Okay. This is a little bit too late.
Be like, you know, they're treated fairly.
Okay. Yeah. Here
and
we
you
go.
You said everyone equal. Okay, down the line.
In October, you know, he did. He served his punishment, so to speak.
Okay, so we're getting to that spot.
I hope the group understands. And, you know, we sacrifices that come along with it. And
all right, I know I'm jumping around here. My apologies.
Next,
this is, like, terrible.
I do think that this is relatable to a lot of people as friends, teachers, parents.
Listen to the meat of it.
The process you went through from finding out to making a hard decision. So can you walk us through what that part was like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first and foremost is it's, you know, it's an extremely difficult situation that you're put in, right? Because you know this is a one of your top players, you know, and not only that, but he's a great kid, right? He's a really, everyone really cares for Weston. And there's part of it that, you know, we've been around long enough to know that people make mistakes and, you know, things happen and, you know, you don't, you know, it's not about, you know, it's not about holding it over their head, you know, for an extended period, but there should be consequences. And that's what we kept going back to. So when we learned of this, It was about just understanding first. The first thing I did is go to Weston and confront Weston and say, okay, did this happen? And, you know, give him a lot of credit. He looked me in the eye and said, yes, this did happen. And I said, okay, well, now let's talk about what's next, you know? The first thing is, you know, this was the day of the game that we're having this conversation. I said, you're not going to be playing this game today. And, you know, it hurts me to tell you this, but this is how it's going to be. And I think that gave us a little bit of time. But the next thing was, where do you go from there? And then it was about, you know, talking to the staff about it and talking about, you know, what our values are as a group and what we represent. And you know, as we were doing that, it started to become more clear, you know, what the answer was. And, you know, again, it's not to hang Weston out to dry. It's more of a message of, listen, you know, we're in this intense period of trying to qualify for the World Cup. We all say this is what we want to do, and we know there's going to be sacrifices that come along with it. And, you know, when we have players that aren't willing to make the sacrifices, there has to be consequences for it, because there's not a lot of room for error in this thing here. And so we talked with the staff, and eventually we came up with the idea that he's not going to be taking part anymore in the camp, and we're going to have to move on without him this trip. And in the end, we felt strong about the decision. We felt sad for Weston, and you know, but we focused on how do we win the next game. You know, after the Canada tie, how do we you know, turn things around and win the next game.
How do you reintegrate?
Okay, let's stop there, because Bobby asked another question and moves on. What do you make of that, Jared? Because again, the part about confronting McKennie is interesting to me. And D-Mac in the chat just said, "Oh, did somebody snitch on him?" I don't think that's necessarily. We don't know that happened. It could have happened that way. What is McKennie going to do though? And we got the reports that he did two different violations. I don't know when this confrontation happened, after the first one or after the second one. If it happened after the first one and he did something again the next night, well, okay, now I don't know if he comes back, right?
So in terms of the main question we're asking, which is, will McKennie feature in the October camp?
Yeah.
Two things stuck out to me in that statement. One, he said at one point in this window, he very specifically said, and granted, remember, he's saying this a few weeks after the window at this point when this interview is going on.
Yes.
So to make sure he says this window, it definitely talks about about that. Okay. And then another thing, there was another word he used early on, and I apologize, I should have taken a note of it, but it was something else that we talked about, the immediacy of just right then. That were there was two different times in that,
right,
where he seemed to talk about a short term.
It was the
time frame,
the intensity of that moment in that group at with the challenge that was in front of them. Right. Yes. That
so
was
it sounds like he's already trying to set up the fact that he's done his time. He served his time.
Yeah.
But I would wonder one other thing, just to widen this conversation for just a moment, and we can narrow back down afterwards. If Wes McKennie, who is now technically a three-time offender. There's two instances, like one at Juventus,
man,
one at the U.S. national team.
I don't.
But three-time. Let me finish.
Okay.
Three times total. Okay. Two of them were in the same window. Okay. What is the next step for Weston McKennie if he doesn't learn his lesson this time around?
Well, so there are, man, I don't know. There are a couple of things here. One, I don't know about the autonomy of Greg Berhalter in this situation. Obviously, it's his team. He can choose who he wants to play. In this case, in this game, in this window, he chose not to play McKennie twice and then sent him home, or sent him home even before that second game against Honduras that he didn't play in. I don't know if he can unilaterally kick McKennie out because he's the coach. I don't know if there are some internal rules. There is a bargaining, collective bargaining agreement that U.S. players have with U.S. soccer. I don't know if there are any rules within that
but
around.
He can just not select him.
No, that's what I'm saying. He can. There's always sort of, you know, he can always kind of do that and just say, well, I chose not to bring him in. Now, everybody will know. And I don't know what that exactly means. But I don't know that McKennie's the kind of guy who's going to make a big stink out of it if he's get left out because he'd obviously done something stupid and screwed up. I don't, you know, I think you're right, though. I think this sounds like a thoughtful coach who wants to maintain good relationships, maybe throughout the roster, the whole team, but also with McKinney, and he's not going to unilaterally kick the guy out. I also don't know that the Juventus incident can be pulled under the same umbrella as all this. I know he did something he shouldn't have.
In terms of making a character judgment on a person, yes. It can.
Sure. Okay.
I think you're confusing what legally might be able to happen or something like that versus what...
I don't mean legally. I mean within the culture of the individual team. So Berhalter knows about the Juventus thing, and certainly he probably doesn't think McKinney made a good choice. He probably thinks McKinney screwed up, and I'm sure that's one piece of evidence in whatever mental dossier Berhalter has of McKinney. But if you're talking about this moment, the thing that stuck out from the reporting and the way this went down with McKinney is that he had broken the trust with his teammates, right? Maybe some guys on the team are like, whatever, he had a girl in his room. Who the hell cares, right? Whatever, get yours. Or he went out one night. Okay, whatever. I would have done it too, but I thought I would get caught. I'm not going to really judge the guy. But if there are rules in place and there's a task in front of them and they're supposed to be doing it as a team and he hurts the team by breaking the rules, gets caught and gets sent home, well, then now nobody can trust him, right? That's what matters, I think, to Berhalter most. So he has to ride the line between bringing McKinney back in because he's a good player and he needs him, but not souring the group because he's brought in a player nobody can actually trust.
So to go back to the point that I would think it was, I don't know if it was Jackie or someone put in there. Oh, no, sorry, it was D-Mac that put about someone snitched on him. I think someone did, and here's why.
Okay.
And I know people don't want to go down this rabbit hole too much.
A teammate snitched on him.
I don't know if it's a teammate, but here's the thing. I think someone, what's the likelihood that Berhalter literally found out about two separate incidents within 24 hours apart at the exact same time? I think one person knew about the going out thing, maybe was sitting on it. Hey, listen, okay, whatever, we need him. And then knows about the second one. It's like, okay, listen, dude, it's just too much. At this point, we got to be professional. And let Berhalter know about both of them at that time. I think it's the only way two things 2 days apart. Because if it's camera footage, you would know the next day.
By the way, again, I don't think the hotel's in the business of handing the U.S. men's national team head coach the camera footage. Like, I don't think
you don't think that there's extra security around the U.S. soccer team?
I don't think
U.S. soccer travels with a head of security?
No, they absolutely do, but I don't know that that might mean there are spies within the group or individuals whose job it is to keep the players in line somehow or to keep an eye on them. But I think it's, you know, these are adult men for the most part. They're adult men. You should not give them the sense they're being babysat. I know there are stories about Dempsey complaining about the treatment he got. Maybe that culture still pervades. I hope not. I really do hope that this isn't, they're watching these guys and they're creating a culture of snitching and they're creating a culture of we got videotape of you leaving your room at 3 a.m. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, that's ridiculous.
Either way, where do you and I fall on it? I think you and I are both on the bandwagon of call him in October.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I think there's a little bit more pertinent here. I know I kind of skipped over a part where Berhalter did talk about October. So let's see.
To grade a player, is it a longer process? I mean, how do you make the next part of that decision, which is, okay, something bad happened, there's a consequence, and how do you move on from there?
Well, I hope, I hope the group understands. And, you know, we purposely didn't go to the team and ask about.
By the way, this is an interesting point that he says here, because when we heard about the story originally, there was at least some bubbling rumors that the team was involved in the decision.
Yeah.
That Berhalter asked the team, polled the team, took an informal questionnaire or something, and they sent basically sort of saying that McKinney was sent home because the team wanted him to leave. But that's not what Berhalter says here.
Oh, what do you think should be done? Because I don't think it's fair to put that on the players, mm-hmm. You know, to have to make a judgment or ruling on another player in a circumstance like that. I think that's our role as leaders. And so, but I think from a player standpoint, you know, for me to see that a coach is willing to act, even though it may not be in his best interests, and then once this is done, it's done. He's not going to hold it against me. You know, I think that's a fair way to look at things.
Okay, that's interesting too, right? He's basically saying
pound of flesh.
The decision was made. The mistake was made. The decision was made. We are done here. That September event is a September event. What happened in September stays in September.
That's rosy and all. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. But the players reserve the right to still not hold him in high regard if they think this is a character issue.
Sure, but is there a team in the history of the world where every single player got along and everybody respected everybody equally and there weren't some tensions within the group? No, that happens in every single group. Now, you can't have Weston McKennie locker room cancer in your team if that's what this is. But I don't know, because of his personality, I think it's very hard to imagine that that everybody hates him all of a sudden, right? I think that there is, you know, he's a fun-loving guy. People seem to get along with him. He could also be the annoying friend you put up with. Like, everybody's got that friend who bounces around, makes jokes at everybody's expense, does things that just annoy everybody, and you kind of just laugh. Oh, ha, 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 that's what Ted does. Maybe that's McKennie, but I don't think that's McKennie. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't either. But and also, I do believe that McKennie's the type of guy that would talk big about accountability and stuff, because I think he does care about the team.
He did.
Think he wants to be a leader.
Did that. But before he broke the rules, he did that.
That's alleged. I don't know anyone that's actually saying that that's actually the case. But it's out there, though. Okay. It's out
there. It is out there. You're right.
It's out there that he had a talk about accountability, leadership, all this kind of stuff. And then he just chose to break the rules himself. So that's the kind of thing. If I'm a guy like Matt Turner, a grown-ass man that's working hard to get some run, working hard to get like even appreciation because I'm still in MLS or something like that, and you got a guy out there, a guy that's being a leader by what he does on the field, and then you've got this young kid that's 20 years old out there preaching this stuff and then making 20-year-old mistakes, that's an issue for me because this is how I pay for my family, you know, as a grown-ass man.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of here. Okay, are we done with this? He does reference October at some point. You want to try to get to that?
No, I'm fine with that because I think it's clear. Okay. I think it's clear he's bringing him in October from the sentiment, way he's talking about the pound of flesh has already been extracted. It sounds like he's already deemed it as a 2-game, 1-window punishment and that he's coming in October.
Okay, and we can only hope, and I think this is the right move, to trust Weston McKennie to get it right this time. Right, to be an example. Now, look,
but there's a three strikes you're out kind of thing here, though.
Sure, that's true, and we can get into determinism and whether or not you actually have free will or you're just kind of always destined to be who you're going to be one day. I know I'm getting real deep here, but
in this multiverse, perhaps
is Weston McKennie the kind of guy who can? He doesn't have to change, right? He just has to not do dumb shit, right? Please, Weston, don't do dumb shit. I don't know how to say that in Italian. Don't do dumb shit. That's what we're asking, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can do dumb shit like Tyler Adams fouling a guy, breaking up a play, you well, know, that could have been scoring shit. No, but listen, there's more than one way to mess up is what I'm saying.
Yes, right.
What Tyler Adams did isn't going to get him sent home. It's a growing moment.
It's an interesting thing. It's like, and this is another like philosophical discussion, but and I have to use the hypothetical because although Tyler screwed up by fouling behind the ball on Mark Anthony Kay, which led to that counterattacking opportunity, that attacking opportunity not coming off, if Tyler Adams goes in two-footed and breaks an opponent leg, or doesn't even matter, goes in two-footed and gets sent off, a very dumb challenge, like incredibly stupid challenge, and he gets sent off, and therefore he is not only out of that game, he's suspended for the next one. We kind of go, oh, that's part of soccer. He made a mistake. He made a really dumb decision, but we don't say, well, he can't come back the next camp, or there's a discussion to be had about the trust he has lost. But because Weston McKennie made a dumb choice off the field, right? And I don't know, maybe you think of not leaving your hotel room when you're in the bubble headed to Honduras or whatever, or coming to Nashville. Maybe you think of that as a much easier mistake to avoid than a two-footed tackle on a soccer field. I don't know. But there is a question to be had, because that would certainly be losing trust of the team if you do something so dumb on the field that you hurt the team too, right?
Yeah, I bet on the field, though, it's a split-second decision. It's a split-second decision.
Okay, sure, but they're professional soccer players. You're supposed to know better.
Okay,
just like
at some point,
Weston McKennie's supposed to know
McKennie put on his dancing shoes and decided to walk out onto the street, okay? There's some premeditation to this. He found a way to get a girl up to the room.
Look, man, I
picture him with one of those room service carts with the girl under a sheet on it and, like, getting her up to the room.
Look, when the siren call of the bachelorette party is in the air, what are you supposed to do? Like, are you supposed to just, like,
And by the way, we're assuming it was a girl. We don't know Weston's flavor.
Oh my God. I don't even think that matters. Whatever he
I just
did,
don't want I don't want to be I don't want to be insensitive in the way I'm speaking about this.
I understand what you're doing. I don't think it's material to anything. And he has had girlfriends in the past. I believe you can check that out on Instagram.
My bad then. Okay, the girl then. My bad.
I'm just saying. All right, with this information, and then we still have a lot of unknowns, but with this information, let's dive in to the Mocktober roster discussion here, because we decided to put together what we think the roster might be. Now, we have some evidence from the weekend to go on here, and this is going to definitely inform this. And then there's the issue of injuries and other things. So, Jared, would you like to begin? Where do we start?
I think keepers, because it's easy. I think this is going to match dead on, you and I, and it's going to be what's taken. Turner, Stefan, Horvath. I don't think either of us are going to have a variation of that.
Turner, Stefan, Horvath, all three of those gentlemen with we hope Matt Turner, I think, starting, but, you know, well, whatever. Okay, let's move to the
next one. If there was a dark horse, who's the dark horse keeper? Let's say someone
goes
down.
Who's the dark horse keeper?
Who's the keeper that comes in?
Oh, man.
Is it Sean Johnson?
I mean, maybe, I guess, because he knows the system.
JT Marcinkowski?
It's not Marcinkowski. It's not. William Yarborough is probably playing better this year than a lot of those guys, but that's he's fair. Not going to be. He's not going to get the call up, is he? So yeah,
prone
Steve
to a big
Clark.
Mistake here and there. I think.
What?
Yarborough. I think he's prone to a big mistake here and there.
Well, so is Zach Steffen, right?
Nicky Stupid Salad saying Brad Guzan, which makes sense too.
Yeah, Brad Guzan could be the caddy, could be the guy that comes in, the veteran leadership element.
If you're bringing in a guy to be the third guy, you're bringing in a young guy. If you're bringing a guy because two guys are hurt and you need a potential start and workout qualifying, you pull the Guzan card.
Well, you know what? And we don't have to open this up wide, but we could talk about, well, look, if there was maybe a little bit more leadership, veteran presence in the team, maybe McKinney doesn't make the dumb mistake, or maybe he's less prone to being independent and doing something stupid. And you have traditionally brought an experienced goalkeeper. It doesn't have to be a guy who was formerly the number one. It can be somebody like Nick Raimondo, right? Somebody everybody respects. And they didn't have one of those because all three of these are young guys. All three of these guys are not experienced on the international level, at least in qualifying. So you could argue that you're missing an opportunity here to maybe bring a Guzan, who will headbutt you if you decide to try to sneak out.
Yeah, a guy that's going to be waiting in the next to the elevator in a folding chair for any player that's trying to leave the hotel.
That would be amazing. All right, goalkeepers, let's move on despite the whole veteran talk. Let's talk about center backs.
Okay, you know, just center backs first. Okay, my list for center backs is...
Well, hold on, did we also clarify that this is a 26-player roster that you and I are doing? Yes, because that's what Berhalter did last time, right?
Yeah, potentially it could be 30. There's a lot of injuries out there. We're just doing 26. We're matching what he did last time. We're not saying that's the right number. We're just going on what we know.
Okay, yes,
so for
exactly.
Me, center backs. I am taking John Brooks.
Okay.
I figure you're going to ding. Miles Robinson.
That is also a ding from me.
Mark McKenzie.
That is not a ding from me.
Three-back system, and you're not going to take Mark McKenzie, huh? Okay.
I don't know how much three-back we're going to play after what happened in Honduras, but
potentially,
go ahead.
But also, John Brooks didn't show you too much in that last game. So the last center back that I'm taking, Chris Richards. And once again, and this is where I'm going to make a clarification, this is the roster that you and I think Berhalter will bring in.
Yes.
Not who I want to bring in. Very clear. This is not Jay Rodius's pick. This is Berhalter's pick that I think is going
to
happen.
You have to qualify.
I do. Okay, qualify. With this one, I do. Tim Ream.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I did not end up with Tim Ream on my roster, and I thought about it, and I probably should. Now, how many was that? How many center backs did you have?
That
five?
That was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay. I only have 4 center backs on my list. Now, again, this is under the assumption that it's a 4-back system, not a 5 or a 3 center back system. That's what I'm going with here. Now, again, I know he went with wing backs and 3 center backs, but I have Brooks, I have Richards, I have Miles Robinson, and I threw Walker Zimmerman in there.
Who didn't play a single minute last window.
I understand that, but I don't think that necessarily means he's not part of Berhalter's plans. Okay. Now, McKenzie is an interesting one because he was in the group, and he has played quite a bit.
And
he went 90 minutes.
He started 3 of the last 6 games, 5 games.
Your evidence is strong. I know I am conceding this one. Your evidence is strong. Okay. I don't know, call it gut or whatever. And McKenzie did play for Gink in a victory today.
And so your replacement for McKenzie is Walker is Zimmerman then. And who's Walker, your replacement Zimmerman, for, and you're not taking a replacement.
I don't have Tim Ream, and I only have four. I think I've got 26. Maybe my count is wrong, but I'm pretty sure I got 26.
Okay, well, right, so I do fullbacks. Why do are you right back and left back, or you want to do fullbacks altogether?
I have a left back, right back, but it's kind of
here's
a mix.
The thing, I only took one true left back, so maybe it's better just to talk fullbacks in general, because
I okay, you only took one true left back because you have Serginho Dest
on the
team?
Now. I have two guys potentially in the team. Well, let's not forget that Berhalter is not above putting Tim Ream out there, but I don't want him to. But I'm just saying, if you're going to say he's a left back. Okay. So for just fullbacks in general, Anthony Robinson.
Uh-huh.
And then also able to play left back is Serginho Dest.
Yes.
And a guy that I'm going to take in my squad, which is Joe Scally.
Okay.
Who is a right back who has played about 50-50 almost at Mönchengladbach on the right and the left.
Okay.
That's just who can play left back. In addition to that, I am taking DeAndre Yedlin.
Okay.
And then I'm putting a name on this roster because if it's available, Berhalter is taking him, and that's Julian Araujo, because he said he was going to make his decision in October. And this is the moment, if he's going to play into October and make his decision in October, if Berhalter has the ability to bring him, he will.
Okay, so I leaned heavy into attacking players in a way you did not. So, maybe I'm gun shy because of what happened with the injuries in the last window, and I think I need cover there. I ended up with, I know he did not look great at times, but he is a true left back, and I thought we needed two true left backs. I have George Bello. Again, I know he.
I had him at first, then I
maturing.
Just saw it. I switched him for Scally.
I have George Bello. I have Anthony Robinson as my left backs, and then I have Dest and Joe Scally as my right backs. Now, Cannon could be in there. Yedlin could be in there. Obviously, was in the last one. Berhalter seems to like him. He's a veteran influence. I could be wrong about this. I don't know how you get Scally. Again, I don't think you need Scally, Dest, and Yedlin, although Dest can play left. I mean,
can Scally. Scally has played left back multiple times for Mönchengladbach to start the season. So,
okay.
I'm just saying, to me, and this will tip my hat a little bit into the midfield as well, I thought the performance from George Bello and James Sands was poor enough that I thought Scally and some other players would be better to bring into this window.
Okay, before we move forward, I do want to address this from Wesley because it's a very interesting question. It's about the quarantining situation, the Premier League releasing players to red list countries. Panama is a red list country, which means that Premier League players, Pulisic, Sargent, Stefan, would not be able, and maybe the championship players too, so Robinson and Ream would be on this list, would not be able to go to Panama. They could stay in Texas or get ready for the last game against Costa Rica in Columbus, but they would not be able to play in Panama. The government of England, of the UK, is exploring an option that would allow those players to only quarantine for 5 days in their team bubbles when they get back. So that would mean they would then be available for the Panama game. So that's not done as far as I know.
But 5 days when they get back, does that make them ineligible for the next game for the U.S.?
No, that's the whole point. Oh, what do you mean? No.
Because Panama's in the middle of this fixture list.
No. 5 games once they go back to England after the window
is closed. 5 games or 5 days?
5 days.
But here's the thing. They come back from Panama. You're not saying that they have to quarantine for 5 days when they get back from Panama. You're saying they have to quarantine for 5 days when they get back in the country of England.
Yes.
Okay.
Which means they should be able, they can train. They can be in their team bubble. They don't have to go quarantine in a hotel, basically, is the point. They can be in their team bubble. They can train. And then they can play the following weekend for their club team, which is the whole point of why the Premier League was like, you can't go because we won't have you. You got 10 days in a hotel after you get back. All right.
Okay.
Fullbacks are definitely an issue.
Could you say your fullback list just one more time for me?
Bello, Robinson, Dest, and Scally. That's my whole list.
No,
I only got four of them.
Okay.
I do not.
You only took 9 total defenders.
I only have 8 defenders on my list.
8
to be
defenders.
With you.
Wow.
Yeah, I only have 8 defenders. I probably should bump it. You know what? Now that I think about it, let's throw Yedlin in there. Actually, this is a good idea.
Who are you going to drop?
I had a midfielder that I'll drop. So I'm dropping a midfielder, but he's not even going
to
make
that
the list.
Second,
so.
Then.
Okay, so let's move on. Let's move on to again role. Let's talk defensive midfielders because that's a specific role in this system or in the team for Greg Berhalter.
I'm only taking 2. And that's going to be Tyler Adams and Kellen Acosta. Now, that's assuming Adams can play. If Adams can't go, you're going deep into a well here for potentially I think you'd bring Busio actually instead of Yule.
I think Busio. Busio is the name I'm dropping from my list.
Okay, and I don't have him in my list either.
Right. I considered, now I realize in terms of versatility, Acosta, while he can play in a couple of different places, you don't need three defensive midfielders. And Acosta doesn't have to just be one. But I think that two makes sense there. So if I've got Yedlin now as one of my fullbacks, I have two defensive midfielders just like you, Adams and Acosta. Again, provided that Adams is healthy enough to play, because he was held out this weekend in a win for Leipzig, right? I think they won this weekend.
One of their bigger wins. I think it was pretty good. And
Little bit of stress off of Jesse Marsch there at Leipzig, so that's good. Okay, so from there we move to center midfielders.
And I'm putting everything else. I'm only taking a total of six midfielders. Very small compared
for me.
Very similar to what Berhalter did last time. Yes. So I've already said Adams and Costa. My other four are McKennie, Legette, Roldan, Musa. Okay. So we match in that regard then once you drop Busio then. So we have the exact same midfielders.
The only one that I would consider who wasn't on that list, and he has not been in, and, you know, I know people are clamoring for him, is Luca Della Torre. So he's been playing well. He's another, but I think the you don't bring Della Torre.
I think the issue is you have to take more forwards than you want to, because A, Pepe's just not, you don't know yet. It's one game, okay? And you don't know about Pulisic's health. You don't, there's more question marks in the front line than any other part of the field right now, I feel, which makes you take, I'm taking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 forwards for me.
I have eight on my list.
Because you took less defenders.
I took one fewer defender than you did, so I have eight. So yeah, it's
That's the problem. That's why Luca Della Torre, who I think was probably both of our first bubble guy, potentially, for an offensive role. I mean, Busio, if you can't take Adams.
Well, so I'll admit that I'm shoehorning one player in here who I want to see, who I'm not 100% is going to be in the mix, and it's possible that he brings another midfielder to cover in that spot, and then so it's one fewer forward.
And you could, I would say this too, with Luca Della Torre, it could be Julian Green as well. I think for a lot of people, that is the same choice right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Julian Green looked good midweek. Best player on the team against, was it Bayern Munich?
They lost to Bayern Munich. Yeah, he clearly is in a good vein of form.
Have you thought about Julian Green's experience with the U.S. national team is just soured and doesn't want to do it?
No, I don't think that's the case.
Because he didn't come to the Gold Cup. We're assuming he was asked.
He wants to play. I'm pretty sure he wants to play. But obviously there are some considerations there. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I can't speak for Julian Green. I think that choice of Della Torre versus Green is an interesting one, because there are obviously Della Torre's younger. He's got a lot of, a lot of potential. He's playing in a league where, you know, week to week, it's not as intense competition-wise. Not that Heracles is some great team in Holland, but it's not the same as the Bundesliga, right? And Julian Green has worked his way back up to this. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the, so I have this as wingers and center forwards, but obviously there could be a little bit of overlap here, a little bit of movement.
Yeah, I think it's best if we just kind of go through them all in one shot. Is that better, or do you want to isolate between the two?
You want me to go? Let me go this time. I have the control of the sound effect, so you go, and then I'll ding on it.
Okay. I'll do the strikers first. Okay. So we've got Ricardo Pepi, Giassi Zardes, Josh Sargent, and Matthew Hoppe. All right, and then this leaves me with three wingers, which is Pulisic, Weah, Aaronson. So you have one more name there, let me see if I can guess it. Can I guess it?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
Pifok.
No, I left Pifok off. Yeah, I because I have Sargent, Zardes, Pepe, who are center forwards. I know Sargent's been moved around a little bit.
And Hoppe would want you to call him a center forward too, by the way.
And Hoppe can be, wants to be, yes. And he played as one of a pair of strikers against Real Madrid. He did not, I don't think he played this weekend for Mallorca, but he did play midweek against Real Madrid, a game I watched.
Yep.
The name I have is Conrad. I want to continue to see Conrad in this team.
Oh, you know, now, I apologize. I should have had that name in there. I should have found a way to get that name in there.
So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, we're at a point now where, yes, there are some questions, but there are enough players who can mix in. And, you know, again, we're talking about no Gio Reyna. If Gio Reyna was healthy, where does Gio, who loses out? Conrad definitely loses out. probably is first, or maybe even Hoppy, which is
I would agree with that. Yeah. And here's the thing. Here's the reason why I didn't make room for Conrad, because I shoehorned in Julian Araujo potentially. So if Julian Araujo wouldn't come with this team, I would bring Conrad De La Fuente.
Okay. Yeah, you did shoehorn out Araujo, which I think is an interesting shout. But, and
Berhalter has to, though.
He's shown a propensity for doing that, right? That's a
move. This is the window, and this is where you can get him. You have to at least give him the opportunity to say yes, or he's going to say yes to the other team.
Yes, that's possible. I mean, I don't like that whole binary, but I guess it's possible. Eshwar says you need more than three wingers, especially if Pulisic is iffy. Bring Conrad and Areola. Areola did not even come to mind for me. No. And I maybe that's hard on Paul Areola, who works his butt off.
I don't think the guy can play three games in a week.
Well, you're not supposed to need him to do that. That's the whole point of it.
What I'm saying is that injury and fatigue seems to be something that his body struggles with. And I just don't know if that's a player that you can really count on fitness wise.
Yeah.
In a window like this. So for me, Conrad, totally get it. If you want to pull Araujo out of mine and put Conrad in there, I'm totally okay with that. I'm actually okay with if you drop Hoppy and put him in there too.
But okay, again, you have one center forward position in this setup, regardless of what it is, whether it's the four-back system or the three center back system. You have one center forward position. So you don't need to bring a bunch, you won't really need four center forwards. However, Hoppy can play in a couple spots, which is why I'm putting him in this mix.
But we're trying to predict what Berhalter will do.
Exactly. I know.
And Berhalter plays Sargent wide. He plays Zardes wide. He plays Hoppy wide. He does these things.
Well, I also think that you cannot keep Tim Weah out of this group, especially since he was in the first team and then the first group and then obviously left because of injuries. Pulisic, this is the question about Pulisic. And again, Eshwar brought it up. Pulisic, iffy. If Pulisic is 70%, I don't know how you judge this, it's not a video game, but if Pulisic is 70%, Jared, do you bring him?
You bring him, and then if he's 70%, you don't take Josh Sargent, and you bring Conrad De La Fuente.
Wow, okay. So you would end up with Pepe, Zardes, and Pepe, Hoppy, Zardes, and Pepe as your center forwards?
Yeah.
And I do realize that
What has Sargent brought to the U.S. national team? No, what's he bringing to Norwich?
I think you're probably right.
At some point, you have to have value. And I get that Hoppy hasn't done anything yet. Pepe hasn't done a lot yet. Zardes probably has done the most of any forward, if you're being honest with yourself, and a lot of people won't be honest with themselves, but that's the honest answer. Sargent's time may just need to be up for a while until he can show something at the club level.
Okay, no, I don't think that that's unfair. I don't. I mean, I think it's also worth asking if it's unfair to Jordan Pefok that we completely leave him off both of our rosters.
For sure.
When he's scoring goals. You value goals. He scored yesterday against St. Gallen. Yeah. You know, the Swiss League is the Swiss League, but he's scoring goals. And who else in our group? This is why Ricardo Pepi got called in, right? That and he could have chosen Mexico and you wanted to prevent it.
And here's the problem
Mexico.
For Pefok and for Sargent. Zardes didn't get to have last window. There's no way that Greer Berhalter misses the chance to bring Zardes in this window to do something.
I mean, especially not after what Jossie did this weekend. I mean, I give the...
Oh, baby!
Especially that left-footed curler to the top corner. Where did that come from? Who hit that? They gave him all the time in the world to pick it out.
He's been watching Roberto Carlos videos.
that was pretty. That was great. Okay, so, one thing. It's so weird because I wanted to go through and say, who are the no-doubters, right? Who absolutely has to be in the team? And I don't know that there are more than... seven or eight guys.
Yeah, six or seven was the number that came to me just off the top of my head. Turner's one.
Turner's definitely a no-doubter, 100%.
Miles Robinson.
Okay. John Brooks.
I'm going to say John Brooks. Some people are just having recency bias.
He was not great, but you have to, especially with two games at home, you have to have John Brooks, okay? Yeah. You have to.
That's probably the only two defenders I'm going to say are you have to have. Because here's the thing about Dest.
Whoa. Oh, okay.
Here's the thing about Dest. I'm waiting. He got yanked out of games in this last window, dude.
He did.
Think Berhalter sees him as a must-play player? Maybe must-play.
How many times leading into qualifying did I say that Dest is a problem? Because what Dest does is intoxicate you with this incredible technical ability, his attacking prowess, and you're like, I got to get Serginho Dest on the field. But he's not a winger. You can't play him higher up the field. He needs that he needs that runway, basically, right? He needs that position as a wingback or as a fullback to have all that space in front of him and use that to his advantage with his speed and his technical ability. So you put him on the field in that position and you just have a black hole defensively. It's just there's
so
nothing
Serginho
there.
Dest is the girl that friend zones you. She's so hot and you'll do anything to have her, but at the end of the day, does she really treat you right? Does she treat you the way you should be treated?
Jay Rhodius.
Does that happen to you? Is that
My Winnie Cooper did that, yeah.
You've been friend-zoned a couple times? More times? Okay. You're a better man for it. And look,
I overcame
this
I should say.
This is the point, right? Dest just had an incredible day for Barcelona against in a win at left back. At left back, not even
sure.
at right back.
But
at
if you go to the game before that, the Barcelona fans were saying this guy is barely is a shadow of Dani Alves. Like, they were talking about how he just cannot defend. That's recency bias. Again, like, the Barcelona's issue is the same as ours. The guy is really intoxicating going forward, but he is a liability on defense for now.
So, let's come back to this. I kind of sketched this out as I think Dest uses the space in front of him to his advantage, which is why he's so effective. Now, this is a comment that says, why not play Dest at winger? Now, I don't know that in a Berhalter system, there is a place to play him. Where do you play him?
Yeah, when Pulisic's injured.
You play him all the way up there? See what he can do?
Wouldn't you want to watch that? Like, think about it. Serginho Dest, no defensive responsibilities.
Okay. Yeah, maybe.
He has virtually no defensive responsibilities if you have Tyler Adams in the game and a left back behind him.
Okay. Let's come back to... So in the spirit of talking about where Serginho Dest could play.
No, hold on. We didn't finish our conversation about the must call players, but we can go back to that like. But
You're right. Okay, go ahead.
Adams.
Yes, okay, 100%. Yeah. If healthy in there, yes.
I'm not saying McKennie right now.
Okay. I think you're wrong about that. I think you're wrong about you because of the off the field stuff? Because of the discipline
that and
stuff?
Has he looked good for Juventus? Has he looked good for the US?
I watched him in that midweek game for Juventus where he started and went 90 minutes, and they had to come back. I think it I can't remember who they beat. They came back and beat somebody.
Atlanta?
3-2. Delict. No, it was one of the newly promoted teams, so I'm not remembering. It wasn't Sampdoria, it was somebody else. But McKennie went 90 minutes, and I'm watching the game, and he doesn't look great. But no one at Juventus looks like they know what they're doing right now. And remember, he's been moved all over the field, relatively speaking.
Yeah, but what players the coach calling out in the press conference afterwards?
I know that, but it's so wild to me that that's the case because I don't think he was the weak link in that team.
But what we don't know is what's happening behind the scenes.
Okay. It's possible.
And when a coach is going to call a guy out in the press conference like that, it makes you feel more than what we know about what's going on.
He missed an opportunity or two. I think there were a couple. He certainly put one over the bar that was.
By the way, but
he did not miss 16.
I know, but the coach said that, though.
But hold on. But doesn't that just speak to whatever insanity is going on in Allegri's brain that he said six chances? I mean, he is clearly throwing Weston McKennie under the bus. So whether you think McKennie is good enough for Juve or not, it's a different question than whether the coach is throwing him under the bus. He is making McKennie a scapegoat. And maybe that means that McKennie has to go. He has to get out of Juventus because it is done. As long as Allegri is the manager there. And by the way, I think they also won this weekend. I did not check. I don't think he played. McKennie probably didn't play. If they don't turn it around, Allegri might go anyway. But if he does stay... Then go. Get out of there, right? Like, Weston McKennie's not a bad soccer player. He's not. And
say he was.
I know, but you're saying he's not a must-call-up. And I think on talent alone, believing that he can get himself together, he has to be in the U.S. men's national team. He just has to be.
Okay. Our whole first segment was useless then, because the whole question was, does he have to be called up?
No, I'm saying the first segment was whether or not Berhalter will call him up because of the disciplinary issue in September. Not whether he should be if Weston McKennie didn't screw up in Nashville, would he be in your team?
Yes.
Okay. Would you call him a a lock, a guarantee?
Not everything about my decision about to call up a player is based on just their technique and form. It's who they are as a person, what they contribute to the team. Is it okay, a positive so overall?
He's not a must call for you. You're not stripping away that stuff. You're adding it
not
to the
right
pile.
Not right now. I want to see him in the next window. I think he gets called. I think he probably should be called. I don't think he's a must call up for this window.
Okay. All right. What else? Keep going.
Up front, we got Christian Pulisic. I think Brendan Aaronson is a must call up right now, especially with Gio.
I think that's true. Yes, I think that's true.
And I'm gonna say Pepe. I don't think that I think that was one of the first names put on this roster up front when Berhalter sat down and did it. And it's not necessarily because we know that he's a lock going forward or anything like that, but you need to see more of what he does.
Okay. I think that, unfortunately, and this is not because he's a starter or anything, and I say unfortunately only because there's not a lot more depth there. I think Kellen Acosta is a must call. I think he has to be in the team. Like, you have to have him as cover if Adams is not healthy. You're playing three games in
a week.
But
we're saying a bench player is a must call up, then. That's kind of a stretch.
No, I'm saying it's a must call because your team is more than 11 players, right?
So it's the AC Green situation here, then.
Because you could make an argument that Zach Steffen doesn't play very much at Manchester City, and Ethan Horvath is up and down with Nottingham Forest, so they're not must calls. You could go get Brad Guzan. You could go call up another keeper, right? The same thing goes. So, obviously, look, Brooks is just the best center back we have, even if he's not great in moments. You know, you move on from there. You're talking about Miles Robinson, just because, right? How quickly did he become a must call? Like, you have to call him in because you don't have that quality of center back. But there are other center backs who could back him up, right? You can say Chris Richards, you can say Mark McKenzie, Walker Zimmer. You could even say James Sands, even if you don't like him. You could call in any of those guys. They're not must calls. But you only have one guy that can step in if Tyler Adams does not play. As far as I'm concerned, in the national team pool, right?
Yeah,
there's nobody else.
I think it's a far distant second, a third.
If we had
to a Busio,
25-year-old Dax McCarty, we'd be fine. But we don't have 25-year-old Dax McCarty.
I would take Dax McCarty right now over Jackson Yule. Would you or not? If you were going to put a name on a roster right now, would you take Dax McCarty or Jackson Yule? That's a pick your poison right there.
Man, wow, that is like the most pointless poison of all time.
No way, dude. This is a World Cup qualifier, which means a veteran kind of thing. That's what Dax McCarty has. His team is doing pretty damn well right now, and he's the leader of that team. I'm not saying Dax McCarty is an international caliber player. I'm just saying
It's Dax McCarty, because I know if I put Dax McCarty in a game with 20 minutes to go, I know what kind of effort I'm getting. I know what kind of understanding of the game I'm getting. Absolutely. And he's the leader on the field. You're right. 100%. Yes. Now,
Chad
there is,
as well.
Yeah, I see that. Lots of Dax love in there. And Dax deserves the love. He does. Yeah. He's fantastic. He's going to go down as a legend in Nashville after being a legend in like three other places. Dan says we need four goalkeepers because only one can go to Panama. That, again, we talked about earlier in the show. Maybe you missed it. People listening back in the podcast are going to hear this a second time. We think there might be an adjustment to the rules around UK-based players traveling to red list countries. So just keep an eye on it this week. By tomorrow, they could have settled that, and Pulisic and Steffen and Horvath and all those guys might be able to travel. So
okay, there was a point you were trying to make about Serginho Dest that I didn't let you make earlier when I said we need to finish the conversation about must call-ups.
I don't remember now.
My apologies.
Move on. Yeah, no, it's okay. It is. We got a couple minutes left. Your team is playing right now, right?
Brought it up because that's how into it I was talking about the U.S. national team.
Okay.
Do you want to tell Varun and tell me how much they're losing by right now? Because
I haven't looked. I haven't looked either because I've been so focused on this. But what I want to get to is an MLS topic. And this won't be for, you don't have to be a hardcore MLS fan, I don't think, to like appreciate that we need to talk about this. And it's the League's Cup expansion that's coming in 2 years, Jared. Why is that? Hold on. Why does that make you fall asleep? Like, why is that a thing?
I just understand why I should be excited about it.
Well, that's a reasonable opinion to have, that I'm not excited about it, but it's going to happen and it's going to fundamentally change MLS, right? Don't you believe that that's going to be a thing when we get to a summer and they're going to break for a month and say, let's all play the Mexican teams for a while?
I here's my thing. I don't understand why we are so needy to have Mexican validation and put them into our MLS culture so badly. Like, we've been shoehorning Liga MX teams into what we do for as long as I've been a fan of MLS. Remember Superliga? Remember all these other like versions of this that we tried to put together? Like, I'm tired. I've maybe it's just me being an old school MLS fan. I'm tired of watching my players, my club team, tire themselves out playing against, because as a Galaxy fan, it's always a Galaxy team that's having to play in these games classically. And I'm tired of seeing guys play minutes about games that mean nothing. I'm tired of the need of validation where we only are able to give ourselves a positive feedback based off of whether or not we are successful against Mexican teams. I don't need it.
Judging yourself against Mexico in all things. I have this issue with the national team because I understand that Mexico is our rival. And yes, we want to beat Mexico every time we step on the field with them. We did it twice in 2021. And trust me, I'm still high off the endorphins, right? I'm still buzzing off the fact we beat Mexico twice. But I hate that we always talk about, oh, well, we're not as good as Mexico, or Mexico does this that we don't do, or Mexico has this, or you know, I understand, like, maybe in FIFA rankings it matters, but only in the sense that we're talking about trying to get seeded for the World Cup. That's the only reason it matters. Like, I care about beating them. I don't care about comparing myself to them in every particular way.
I like this take from Frank in Orange County. He says, MLS Cubs will send the kids and rest to A squads. They won't care and get slaughtered.
Here's what's gonna be, that's true.
I do, and here's why. When is this going to be played? Right in the middle of the MLS season, right?
End of July into middle of August, something like that, probably. So
why wouldn't you try to get this as a rest for the key players if you're doing an MLS Cup push?
You know what? You're right. Maybe that does happen. I mean, I can see Bruce doing it for sure. What the hell is this?
What's the incentive? I'm sure there's a little bit of money on the line.
Well, they're putting money on the line. There's going to be significant money on the line. If Mexico's involved this heavily, I'm not saying I know what it is, but there's going to be significant money on the line. And I don't think the players' union is going to sign off on this, and maybe they don't have a choice. I don't know what the number of games in a calendar year is necessarily, but I think that there's going to be significant money there. Now, there is an issue that even if you don't rest your guys, even if you play your best guys, you could lose two games. It's three team groups. So you get two group games, and then they eliminate teams to go into the knockout round. So if you only play two games, then you do have like 3 weeks off of doing nothing. So it's already built in if you lose those first two games. Why not play your best team, give it a shot, and if you lose, whatever, it's over.
Why not lose those two games and get like a month off?
Sure. Okay, sure.
I know Nick's got to weigh in on, wants to weigh in on this as an FCC, as a Cincinnati fan. I'm interested in this. Because how often is Cincinnati going to play against some of these teams normally? So, Nick, what are your thoughts on this?
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Bring him in. First of all, it is a good point to be said that most of the history of MLS versus Mexican clubs is big Mexican clubs, Club America, Guadalajara, Monterrey, Tigres versus the more elite MLS teams. I mean, for lack of a better way of saying it. So, yes, Nick, as a fan of a non-elite MLS team, what do you think of this?
Well, that was a nice way to put it.
I'm sorry. 4-2 to DC United today. What the hell?
I'm going to say something similar. It would be nice if my club could figure out MLS first before having to add another competition into this, because they're going to have a month off every summer for the foreseeable future while this tournament happens, because they are nowhere close to competing in Major League Soccer. How the hell are they going to compete in this? There's zero chance.
It's a good point.
And if you do fall out early, do your players get to take a vacation?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think they still have to train. And then I think so much of this is like half-baked, right? So much of it is like, here's an idea.
Is this falling
we don't actually have any details yet.
Is this falling between the Apertura and the Clausura?
I think it's possible that this will start right after the Apertura starts, like two weeks.
So here's my other piece of this. Mexico isn't stopping in the middle of their season, like right in the middle, like right in the hot part of their season.
No.
If we could take a month off in this MLS season to do this, why can't we, and again, this is probably opening up a whole can of worms for a whole other topic.
Oh, yeah, you're about to open it up. Yeah,
I am. But like, then let's adjust the schedule for Major League Soccer to take the time off in the winter to do this tournament and play from, I don't know, maybe August to May, like the rest of the frickin' world does.
Okay. I'm not as hung up on that as
I would to Nick's point, I'd rather play this in January, February.
Sure.
So that MLS teams, it's their preseason. Like, this is what they do, and then they might actually be ready for the CCL finals and semifinals that they're never ready for.
Well, then you are playing Mexican clubs in the middle of their season, and they will wipe the floor with every MLS team.
Well, how fair is that? I don't care anyway. I don't care anyway. I'd rather. That's fine. Would you rather? Which should the average MLS fan care about more? Super League? Is that what it's called? Is this what this is
it's
called?
It's League's Cup still.
League's Cup. So should the average MLS fan care about League's Cup or the CCL final?
No, the CCL. What's,
that's the big deal, right?
They're building this into you can qualify for the CCL from this tournament.
Oh,
that's
can we?
Too.
I can't wait for FC Cincinnati. There's your window.
There's your window,
spot.
Nick. That's how you're going to get it finally.
My goodness.
Now, I mean, look, I understand. I'm not on board with this. I just want to make sure that we're thinking out the reasons why we're against it for the most part. The other part that bothers me, and maybe they'll change this one day if it becomes some massive hit, but probably not because money is money is money is money. All of the games will be played in MLS venues. No games in Mexico. It's a month-long World Cup-style tournament between MLS and Mexican clubs with all the games happening in America or Canada.
Let's call it what it is, Jason. You know, it's a month-long grift on your perceived, your perceived inadequacy with Mexico. That's what it is. It's a month-long grift.
But I don't think it's about it. Well, maybe it is about inadequacy, and it is also about tilting the playing field a little bit in the favor of MLS in order to get some wins. There's that. But this is just about trying to boost the profile and the money-making capabilities of both leagues. But
keyword
MLS
there.
Is looking for – Don Garber used the phrase rocket fuel about 12 times when they announced this thing. This is rocket fuel for our quest to become an important league and blah, 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 blah.
You know what's rocket fuel for this league? Sell more players to Europe like you have been. That's rocket fuel for this league. Has this league ever had more respect in the world than it has right now? It didn't come from Mexico results.
Sure. Here's the thing. And
my issue with Don Garber, not you, by the way. I apologize.
Jackie said it earlier, and I'll say it here on the show so people can hear it. And I said it on the radio show. Did you know that I have a radio show, Jared? I don't know if you knew that. I want to tell you about my
play the drop.
WNBC.
You know about it, right?
WNBC.
I know my radio show. You know of it. You've heard of it. The big billboard I put outside your house.
Yeah, you and Tony, Miola have a game.
Serious XM.
I mean, you and Tony Miola have a show every afternoon.
Oh, I don't know if I should be offended or Brian Dunsett should be mad at you, I guess.
Wait,
at
you
some
don't
point,
live in Utah?
On some level. No, I don't.
Oh,
I don't live in Utah. I don't go hiking every day with my kids.
Oh,
I don't
I
do
wish
that.
I did.
I don't have an incredible Bruce Arena impression. Donnie's got an incredible Bruce Arena
I've
impression.
I've heard it. It actually is quite good.
It's pretty cool. No, the thing is, you have to, if you want to beat Mexican clubs, whatever, if that's a thing that you care about, whether it's the CCL or this thing that you've created, you have to let teams spend more money across the entire breadth of your roster. Stop with this. Well, you could only spend $1 million+ on a 21-year-old who has come through a system.
Unless you picked up a chance card when you pass go that lets you spend more money if it's in this way.
Do you have your special pass for an extra DP because you met the requirements and knew the secret code? No, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Give them more money to spend across the entirety of the roster.
Next.
Because what happened in the League's Cup final that they just had, the one in the I call this like the test version of the League's Cup, right? The one we're playing now or the one we just finished?
Yeah.
Seattle loses to Club Leon, right? Leon, it's 1-0 Seattle going into the 60th minute. Leon brings in three players at that point with the five substitutions. They bring in three players, and everything about that game changes. Suddenly, Seattle's getting just bombarded on their end of the field. Eventually, Leon scores. They get a penalty kick, and they end up winning the game. And you can see the money. You can see the dollar signs or whether the Mexican peso sign on those players as they enter the field and change the complexion of the game. MLS teams have quality 1 through 12, 1 through 14, 1 through 15. They need help everywhere else, and MLS teams just don't have it because they're not allowed to spend money that way.
The most honest peek behind the curtain of this whole thing is the fact all the games are in MLS, in the United States.
Well,
this game is not important to Liga MX fans. It's not. If it was, they'd be playing games down there because they get the ticket sales.
You're missing. Okay, yes, that's probably true. But when you say Liga MX fans, what you're missing is that there are a lot of them here who will show up to these games, and it almost doesn't matter who's playing in their local area. They will go to the games. Philadelphia played Club America in the second leg of the CCL in the semifinals. Right? There were like Pumas fans in the stands. They weren't there because they wanted to root for Club America. They hate Club America. They were there because a Mexican soccer team was on the field, and they wanted to be part of that whole scene, right? The atmosphere of Mexican soccer happening in the United States. That's what MLS is banking on, and they're going to rake money in on ticket sales because of this.
I don't think they are.
Boom.
I don't think MLS fans are going to go. I don't think MLS fans are going to care enough.
I didn't say maybe MLS fans. Okay. I didn't say MLS fans.
Yeah, he's right. That's what Liga I'm saying. Liga MX fans will.
Mexican League fans will show up. I'm not saying there's going to be 60,000 in Seattle for games, but there will be a lot of Mexican then. League fans.
I, as a MLS fan, lose integrity for my team that they're being forced to play in a glorified exhibition that's only about making money and not about actually improving my team or adding to the legacy or potentially hurting the players.
Well, okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, that was about it. It's just everything about it is what's becoming wrong in MLS. It's the disingenuousness of the game.
Start shaking your fist at that cloud. You know, tell those kids to get off your lawn. No change ever. Don't ever do anything new.
But you're assuming every change is good?
No, that's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that this one is good. I just think that you have to acknowledge that people are impatient for MLS to be bigger and better than it is. I'm of the opinion that you can find a place to be comfortable and exist and grow slowly, and that's fine, but not everybody wants it that way. And if MLS is going to be bigger, if they're going to bring in more money, now we could just say, oh, you're a billionaire owner, spend more. That's an easy thing to say. But if they have the revenues, then they have no excuse, and they want to improve their revenues. So how do they do that? What kind of opportunities are available to them? In this part of the world, you can't go join the Champions League in Europe. You can't go play in the Copa Libertadores. Well, what do you do? You get into bed with Mexico and you say, okay, let's figure this out and we'll bring more interest from all the television channels who are going to line up to pay for this product because people will watch this on television or streaming.
Here's where I think Dom Garvey misses the boat or doesn't care. Probably the latter. The average MLS fan doesn't care about rocket fuel. The average MLS fan does not. That's something ownership cares about. These moves, this tournament, this is what ownerships care about. And at the end of the day, he is beholden to the ownerships of these clubs. But when he says things like this and he makes these clubs play these games in the middle of the season, he's tipping his hand that the average fan doesn't matter. It's about owners. No, it's 100% about the owners.
This is why AT&T has to have commercials that say if you are a new customer and an old customer, you get the same contract, the same offer, because new customers get treated better than old customers. That's how this works. Nick, did you have something else?
Yeah, I want to chime in here because if this is, and I heard one of you say earlier, is this about the Champions League? Is this about MLS teams finding more success in the Champions League by playing Mexican teams more frequently? Well, why aren't some of these games being played in Mexico? Like if I'm a team that's, you know, a contender in Champions League, like you need that experience going down to Mexico and their stadiums and playing down there. Like, sure. This isn't going to help.
Regularly win against Mexican teams in the CCO at home.
Right. Like, exactly. That happens. These should be away games where you get experience playing in some of these venues.
Okay. This is not about the Champions League. This is about MLS and the Mexican League making more money and leaning on each other to make more, teaming up. Think about it like, two giant drug cartels. Like, we own this part of the world and you own that part of the world, and how do we get bigger? Well, we fight each other. That just kills our guys and we lose product, and now we're in a war and the police are all over us. But if we team up, we can own everything. That's what this is.
Yep.
This is two cartels trying to get together. And people who hate MLS and the way it's structured are going to love the fact I use cartel when I'm talking about this. This is not about the CCL. The CONCACAF people, Victor Vitaliani, who was on hand in New York when this was announced and also announced the new look of the CCL and the new expansion and that you can qualify for the CCL out of the League Cup. Do you know why they signed off on this? Because they had no choice. They were the small-time dealer who had no power. What are you going to do? Stand up to the Mexican and MLS, the Mexican League and MLS, and say no when they could just go off and do their own? They don't need CONCACAF.
I like your analogy because the cartels are making money off us, the junkies who are hooked on their product.
There you go. There you go. This is what I can't say on the radio show. I have to say it here. I can't bring it to the table on the radio show. So,
Maybe the next two Escobars will be about this.
Well, how many have we ever had an Escobar in MLS?
I don't know.
How many Escobars have played in MLS?
I'm not positive, man, but
you're not okay. All right. Any other orders of business? Usually this is where we bring Nikki Soup and Salad in for a review or two.
So we have any reviews. We have not had a review in over a month. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe Apple Podcasts is broken. So if you're listening to this, please do me a favor and just leave a one-word review. Be creative. Leave one-word review so I can read it just to make sure that this thing even works.
Jared, let's give them a word. Let's send the people off to do a review, and we can give them a word, and then it's like a code.
You need to fit in the word octopus into your next review.
I was going
to
say money.
I like.
But
money, octopus. Oh. How about
I'll take octopus or cartel.
I like this one. This came up earlier in the show when we were talking about McKenney.
Okay.
I think it was BD Smokey who said shenanigans. Give me a shenanigans there. Put something in there with shenanigans because
references the movie Waiting.
And
is that a thing? I haven't seen Waiting.
I haven't.
You've ever been a server in your life, you gotta
Super
see that
Troopers
movie.
Has shenanigans all over it. Yeah. I was a
shenanigans
server,
is the name of the restaurant, the TGI Fridays.
That's right.
Shenanigans.
I
think that's also in Super Troopers. I think that's what it is. Huh. A restaurant. Yeah. You want to go to Shenanigans? Shenanigans? You going to Shenanigans?
Right. No.
Go ahead.
And if you're not on Apple Podcasts, you can send us a review at bestsoccerreviews@gmail.com and I'll read them on the air. Again, we want cartel, octopus, and shenanigans.
If you those get them all in one, I mean, you're the next level.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Use your imagination here, people. Concoct a story. Tell us a story with those words. All right. Thank you, Nikki Soup and Salad.
Thanks,
Sausage.
Shout out to the new Patreon folks. Corey, I believe Will. Who all did we... or was it Walt?
We had a couple of people jump into the Slack recently as well. We welcomed them with open arms over at the Bestie Slack. What's going on in the Slack? I heard something about our man Mike in Philly.
Michael freaking Orozco Fiscal.
Well, he's kissing people on the forehead now, or on the bald
he just
top.
Did the spreadsheet.
The bald head. He does love himself a good spreadsheet. He's on
he's
top
a freak
of some
in the
spreadsheets. He's doing some TPS reports over there. It's just it's lovely stuff.
That's one of
the
things going
Slack.
On the Slack over there. You guys got to get in on it. Hopefully, I think we've been averaging a few people joining every week. It's just making the community bigger and better. If you're tired of all the nastiness in U.S. soccer, Twitter and stuff like that, and there's no sense of community, come join our folks. It only costs a couple bucks a month, and you get to hang out with some really good folks.
Also, there might be an announcement coming very soon on a new member joining the staff here at the Best Soccer Show, and I will leave that to the side. I think I've already teased this once. Not sure I did. Maybe I did on the bonus show at one point. I'm not sure where I teased it. It's coming. Okay. I don't know the timeline on formal announcements. I don't know if the press release together. I don't know if the headshots have been taken. Like, I don't know about any of those. You know, those. You have to get that stuff done, right, Jared? You have to properly announce these things. You only get one shot.
Yeah, I mean, you're assuming, you're asking me because I live in Southern California and everybody has a headshot in their car somewhere.
Do you have a portfolio?
And a script. A script and a headshot. Everyone has one or the other in their car.
Have you ever done that? Like, gone to a coffee shop and sat down with your laptop and just to, like, look around and see, okay, who's writing? Who's writing? Who's got a script going right now?
That stuff happens. I did watch 10 Things I Hate About You last night, and it reminded me of the guy who has the exact same headshot, one in their black shirt and one in a white shirt, the model dude.
That's a good one, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. He did like a shampoo commercial or something.
Yeah. I have a nose spray commercial tomorrow.
There it is. All right. All right. If that's it, then I guess we'll get out of here. Send us your thoughts on the roster. Again, the October roster is going to be dropping very, very shortly. And we'll see how close we got. And we'll be back on Sunday to talk about it. We are also working on our schedule for post-game shows for the next set of qualifiers. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas for the Jamaica game. There are currently plans in the works to do something immediately following that game with me live in the building and probably with at least one special guest. So please just keep an eye. Bestie Soccer on Twitter, The Best Soccer Show on Instagram. What else, Jared? Davis JSN, the J Rodius Factor.
If you're watching on YouTube right now, subscribe to the show. Hit the bell if you want to know when the live shows get started. That's it.
That's it. All right, guys. Well, we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Danger zone!
Damn, dog. That's an approach.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
Eddie, what have you done for me lately?
Michael fucking Orozco Fiscal.
Oh, baby!
Who asked those questions?
Avenge me! Avenge me!
Go to DEFCON 2.
Duh and or hello.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Nicole Neal, please allow the corner.